America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. That's right, people. Hold your kitties tight and take them to the vet for their yearly haircut like we did today with Fuzzy. How you doing, Randy? Randy England?
Hey, I'm doing great, Michael. Good night. I mean, good morning.
Good night. Just end the show there. Yeah.
It just turned morning where I am.
In Missouri. Yeah. Randy England is an attorney and author. His websites are randyengland.com and freeisbeautiful.net. He's the author of Free is Beautiful, Why Catholics Should Be Libertarians. And he's an attorney who writes books that are not taught legal fiction. And I really like that about him because, you know, the world doesn't need another third-rate John Grisham. There's a lot of those out there. Do you know that?
Sure there are.
People who were attorneys and then said, hey, Grisham did it. I can do it.
I'm not even working on one. So.
Yeah, and then he did one book that was like not about the law, and the tagline for it was I read a bunch of his stuff, and the tagline for that one book, I forget what it was called, but it was it said, not a single judge or attorney, living or dead. That was like the tagline for that book, and I read it, and it just wasn't very good. He's a one-hit wonder, and he's a great one-hit at it, doing that same song over and over and over.
That wasn't his Christmas book, was it? Christmas Story or something?
No, this was about 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I think it was about prisoners in jail doing money laundering scams from jail. So I guess it was still about the law or lack
kind
thereof.
Of law.
Yeah,
right.
But no judges or attorneys. Yeah. So we want to talk about – well, I want to talk about my cat, Fuzzy. I took Fuzzy today to get drugged and shaved, which – no, that's not the new kind of dating all the kids are doing. It's – yeah, we got this cat. He's very, 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 very fuzzy, and his name is Fuzzy. And he's so fuzzy that in the summer, his hair gets matted and he gets really hot. So we take him to the vet, and they drug him, probably with ketamine or PCP. Because when he comes home, he's not only, like, sedate. He's, like, tripping. He's, like, whoa, kind of walking around wide-eyed and looks like he can see through time. And they shave him, and they don't shave him completely. They just give him little trims around the butthole and around the around the butt and around the undercoat or the undercarriage, and then thin him elsewhere. He still looks like a proud little lion, but he's mad at me, man. He tried to get away from us. We had to like chase him around the house and trick him to get him to go today. You got a cat?
I used to have a cat, but it never needed shaving.
We have three cats, and only one of them needs shaving. And the bizarre thing is Fuzzy has a brother named Peanut who's just as furry as Fuzzy. But Peanut's fur is really smooth like a bunny, and Fuzzy's fur is kind of smooth but kind of a little thicker, and Fuzzy's fur gets matted, and Peanut's fur doesn't. Peanut doesn't need a lot of brushing.
So. Maybe Fuzzy licks himself the wrong direction or something.
I don't know, because Fuzzy's the smarter of the two. Peanut is, you know, what we say about Peanut is special cats need the most love. So we wanted to talk about libertarians and the different substrata and subspecies of them. I guess I'm really out of touch because I've missed the memos. Like you missed the memo that this show is now called the Freedom Fiends and not Michael Dean After Dark. You know, we had a big meeting. You were in court, so you didn't get to go. But yeah, it's now called the Freedom Fiends, like my weekend show. And it'll get rebranded over in about 3 weeks. You know, they have to petition the satellite owners, and it takes a while. It's a process, you know, it's a government intervention in paperwork to actually get a satellite channel renamed, and then you can put in the different bumpers and liners and things. But I'm just calling it.
So I wasn't being paranoid when I thought that you were having co-host meetings without me.
Actually, I didn't have any meeting because it's my show and I just do what I want because I'm a libertarian and I don't respect anyone else's rights. No, because it's my property and I let you guys come over and hang out. And you are fiends. You're small F fiends. And that's a pretty inside circle. There's only about 10 of those. And then there's the small F fiends who are the fans, who are their millions, hundreds of thousands. No, probably tens of thousands.
That's honor enough for me.
Yeah, man. It's cool to have you here. I always look forward to it. So tell me, what is this thing of thick and thin libertarianism and who made up this crap?
Okay, well, I'm not an expert on thick and thin libertarianism, but I've just been reading about it, you know, on the internet. I frequent some of the kind of the thick sites, and I definitely frequent the thin places like Lou Rockwell. And I shouldn't say thick and thin much more unless we talk about what those
there you go.
Are.
That's good radio to not bury the lead. So what's the lead? Yeah. What's the difference in who made it up?
Okay, well,
who made it up?
You know, I don't know who made it up, but it was probably, I think around, I don't know, 6 years ago or something, around 2008, there was an article by a fellow named Charles Johnson, I believe.
Never heard of him.
And he wrote an article
isn't
where he kind
isn't he a blues
out,
singer? Isn't that a blues singer from the 30s? Didn't he do that song called "I'm Gonna Beat My Woman Till I'm Satisfied"? Oh, that was Robert Johnson. I'm sorry.
There you go. Well, anyway, he wrote this article called "Libertarianism Through."
That's
thick
a horrible title for a song, but it is technically the first rock and roll song. It's from like 1933. But I'm sorry, I digress. Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, Charles Johnson was the fellow's name, and I think he's kind of a left kind of anarchist type.
I don't know what that is because I don't know how you can be left. I mean, to me, that means they want to redistribute my wealth, and I don't know how they could do that without acting like the government. So let's take a little parenthetical here and tell me what left libertarianism is or left anarchism.
Well, let's start with the thin. Thin and thick, and then move
well, can
on.
We you be can you be thin or thick, left or right?
Okay, let's start with thin, okay? Because yeah. The thin libertarianism and Lou Rockwell's latest article, he has it up. He says it better than anyone, and he says the thin libertarian believes in the non-aggression principle that one may not initiate physical force against anyone else. The thin libertarian thinks of himself simply as a libertarian without labels. And then he goes on. Most thick libertarians believe in the non-aggression principle, but they believe that the struggle for liberty to be coherent, in the struggle for liberty to be coherent, libertarians must be committed to a slate of other views as well. So, see, thin libertarian is just non-aggression principle. That's it. Nothing else there. It's just a political philosophy, whereas the thick libertarians, they're getting thick because there's a lot more strands in their rope.
Okay, I see the purpose for this designation, but I think those are horrible names for this. I mean, to me, I'm a thick libertarian because I've put on a few pounds. I'm not joking. I'm just like, I think of body types. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I would say like core libertarians and esoteric libertarians or core libertarians and other or something. I don't know. I just think thick and thin is a really bad designation for it. But if that's what you kids are calling it, I'll bite.
I'm just what I have read now and everything I'm saying, if anyone is out there, listening, I hope they will call in.
Oh, you missed that part of the meeting too. We don't take calls anymore. People are stupid. We don't want to hear from them. That's really bad radio. Anymore. No.
I really missed the meeting.
No, people are not stupid. I do want to hear from people, but we're only taking calls on Skype, and we're only taking calls on Skype from people with good audio because they have a good mic. Because somebody has to be the audio Nazi, or Liberty Media is going to suck forever. Because Liberty Media sucks because people don't care about audio and quality. And they just keep putting out these Google Hangout videos with horrible headphone mic and people calling in on, prepaid cell phones. And it's like, nobody's going to listen to that in 50 years, man. I mean, video is just going to keep getting better and better, but audio is pretty much as good as it can be. But doing audio over the internet is not easy to do as well as the human ear can hear. And doing audio over a cell phone is horrible because they don't even make cell phones They cripple the network now to save money, and they cripple the microphones. Although the microphones aren't bad on some cell phones, like you can record decent audio on an iPhone or an Android phone, but it's hard to call in on a radio show and sound good over one of those phones. So yeah, we don't take calls anymore unless it's on Skype and it's people we know. You have to go to our website, michaelwdean.com, click on the link that says, get the cheap, great mic that our co-hosts use, buy that mic, send me an email, and I'll add you on Skype, and then you can call in. You have to spend $60 of your money before we'll let you call in. How's that? Then you'll be good enough. Or if you have a good mic, you can email me about it.
So the short answer is no one's going to call in to contradict me.
Right, man. So just say what you want is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, anyway, you have this thick libertarianism, and that is very difficult to define because it can be any issues. Now, most of your thick libertarians that I've read about are more sort of left-wing. I mean, there's things that they think it is really important that libertarians be against. It's as if you're not against these things, either you can't be a good libertarian, or if you could be one, you can't stay one. Or a society that wasn't against these things and for these things could not long remain libertarian.
What are they, like feminism? And
yeah, they say you got to be against any kind of sexism, which means you can't be anti-gay or misogynist, anti-woman, or no racism. And you hear them and everybody's going to say, well, I'm okay with that or I'm not. I mean, everybody has an opinion on all of these things, but they go further. Like they would say they're totally against inequality of wealth. And they think that it's unhealthy to have.
How are they going to get there? How are they going to get to equality of wealth?
Well, of course, if you use the state, it's easy to get there. You just take it away from the people that have and give it to the ones that don't.
You make everybody poor. Yeah.
But to be fair, most of the thick libertarians, they'll say, yes, I believe in the non-aggression principle. I do not. I would not have the state do that. And they tend to believe that if you took away all of the state interference, that and the privileges that
I would just be good and let a bunch of stinky hippies come crash in my house.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth.
We'll be back with more on the... I guess I'm a thin libertarian then. All right, we'll be back.
I think you are.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Fiends. We're discussing my concept of thin libertarianism plus. And if you're just joining us, thin libertarianism is just believing in the non-aggression principle. Thick libertarianism is believing the non-aggression principle plus a whole slate of other agendas that kind of sound like the platform of someone running for Democratic office in San Francisco. And I don't like that. I like the thin libertarianism. But I have a couple pluses to it. I think to be a good libertarian, you have to live by the non-aggression principle and keep your word. What do you think of that, Randy?
Well, then you're not a thin libertarian.
Yeah, I am. Because not keeping your word is varying shades of fraud and stealing. Because, you know, when you say you're going to meet somebody somewhere and you're an hour late, you're stealing their property. You're stealing their time. And I really believe that. It's I'm really irked by people who are not punctual. And it's not just that I'm irked by people who are not punctual. I really think you're stealing someone's resources when you say you're going to be somewhere and then you're not. And, you know, the market takes care of that It should. People who are habitually late should just be dying in a ditch, unemployed, with no friends. But people let people get away with that. That's one of my plus ones. My other plus one is don't be an ass, basically. And I guess you could still be a thin libertarianist plus, a thin libertarian plus, if you kept your word, but if you were an ass. But I don't know, man. I think that people who just go out of their way to grief other people who aren't bad people are not good examples of libertarianism. But, you know, your mileage may vary.
I think what you're saying is that everybody has some things that they think are important in life just besides liberty.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you don't keep your word, you know, like if you borrow money from somebody and say you'll pay them back and then you just don't bother and you're like, yeah, whatever. I think that's somewhere on the scale of theft or fraud. I really do.
Oh, I agree with
it's
that.
Not
sure.
It's not just a pet peeve. I have other pet peeves too. Like, I don't like being around people who haven't showered in a couple weeks, but they're not breaking the non-aggression principle, and they could still be thin libertarian plus in my mind.
Yeah. I think you're right. One thing about the inequality of wealth that many of the thick libertarians are pretty exercised with, they believe that if you had like 1% of the people owning 99% of the wealth, that's sort of unhealthy for a libertarian society, and maybe they're really right. And of course, you don't really have a problem with people that don't like that, as long as they're not going to bring any force against you. But what these people do believe, though, is that there are things about liberty that will cause some equalization of wealth, so that the people on the top.
Oh, yeah. I really believe that without the government, everybody, the average person would be 8 times richer. And that's a figure that was come up with by L. Neil Smith, and I don't really remember the math on it, but it makes sense to me. You know, basically
people that were getting
billions, billions
ahead of time.
Yeah. And I've said I think you could be a millionaire and not be evil, but I think it's pretty hard to be a billionaire and not be evil, unless you did it through Bitcoin and bought early.
Well, that is a somewhat closing of the gap that they hope to see, and I have no problem with that. But I believe the most important thing is to get rid of the coercion.
Yeah, I think you'd see it anyway. I mean,
no, I think you're right.
I guess I just got the impression that they had an agenda to add some kind of, I don't know, libertarian laws or something. How do you enforce agenda, the thick agendas?
Well, there's some other things that the agendas get more radical as you go down the list. Like some of them are against all kinds of hierarchical relationships. Boy, that's hard to say. Like, they don't like having an employer that has employees.
That's ridiculous.
Wage labor is wrong. They call it wage slavery.
Yeah. I've actually toured Europe with my movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and I was mostly showing it in punk rock squats that were anarcho-syndicalist, which is the left anarchist. They don't want any state, but it's pretty close to the original idea of the Communist Manifesto before it was, which I don't like any kind of communism, but it was basically an employee-owned thing. Like, basically, the unions replaced the government. That's my take on it. But in the Soviet Union, it went far beyond that, to where, you know, you had a Politburo class that were all rich and living fabulously because they were part of the government, and the average person was waiting in line for bread. Whereas in capitalism, bread waits for you. It does. It's the difference. All right, we'll be back.
Yakov Smirnov there.
Yakov Mimov.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, with Randy England, Fiend du jour, rotating co-host on a spit being barbecued. How are you feeling, Randy?
Oh, I'm feeling very fine. Got a nice cool breeze coming in the window. Got the fan on. Oh, like I said, I hope you can't hear it.
Nah, you got a glass of wine tonight?
You know, no, but I was thinking that I really should. You know,
I would say drink two for me since I don't drink. But if you're hammered,
here's the problem with that.
Go ahead.
You know, you remember the show? The guy. I don't think they still have a podcast. Remember Wheels Off Liberty?
Oh yeah.
I mean, those guys. They always started the show by describing whatever alcohol they were drinking.
Yeah.
And then I think a couple weeks ago when I was on your show and I said something like I've just finished up a glass of wine, I just happened to be. I mean, I don't make a point of it or anything. I haven't had anything tonight. But now, in the last week, I think I read a message that is Jeff Berquist of, you know, the Anarchast announced that he was going to stop drinking. I mean, every one of his shows – he always had a glass of
alcohol. Oh man, yeah. Everyone's
all the cool and a cigarette.
All the cool kids are doing it, but I'm in July. I'm going to have 20 years sober, so I am OG square. I'm not Nuevo square like these other cats.
Well, if he gives up smoking anytime soon, he'll probably be entering a monastery. So, and I'd hate to lose him. So
can't decline. Yeah. Yep. So. We're going to take this call. Nathan can call back after this segment, but I want to get out the attribution for my Thin Libertarianism Plus. There's a guy named Richard Mayberry. Do you know who that is?
I'm sorry, I don't.
He is an OG libertarian. He's born in 1946, and he's been writing. He wrote something called the U.S. World and Early Warning Report for Investors, which was a newsletter on paper mailed to people who subscribed. Going back to like the 70s, and he's a
paper. What's that?
Yeah, it's like dead trees, man. You know, paper. You know, it's like the internet on dead trees. So he's one of these guys that, like, you know, whoever most of these people listen. Most of these young people listening, like, you know, whoever your favorite libertarian is, you know, it's probably me. So this is the guy who, like, influenced the guy who influenced the guy who influenced the guy who influenced me. I mean, this is the guy that, like, I think he was Lou Rockwell's babysitter. He's that OG, that original gangsta. So he said at one point something like there's only two rules in life. Don't initiate aggression and keep your word. That's his, not mine. I adopted it and expanded it in my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience. I named it The Only Two Rules in Life. He didn't say it. He didn't call it that. And it was basically me trying to distill the 10 command, you know, the 12 steps and the 10 commandments and everything that I'd heard of good things to live by in my life down to like the simplest form possible. And I got it down to basically his two rules, but I added one in the middle. I called it the non-aggression principle 2.0. which is do not initiate or accept aggression. Now, there's a lot of degrees of that. You know, some people would say, well, if you pay taxes, you're accepting aggression. Some people would say, if you don't shoot the tax collector, you're accepting aggression. But I basically say, you know, it's not an excuse to accept some amounts of aggression. But, you know, if someone's beating you, don't take it. If someone's making your life horrible in a way that just messes up your head, I consider that aggression. Don't take it. Move out. Get out of it. It's basically a self-help book for libertarians. The first half of A User's Manual for the Human Experience is about getting creepy people out of your life. The second half is about learning to make a living doing what you love. And from someone who's done it. I mean, I've done it for like 12 years. So it's a self-help book wrapped around a libertarian book. Like, a lot of people who aren't libertarians like this book. If you search the title of it on Twitter, there's like hundreds of people who've recommended it, even in book clubs who've read it, who are not libertarians. But I slipped some libertarian principles in there, and I just had to. It wasn't a trick. I said in it that I'm a libertarian. I wrote it when I was really early libertarian, like 7 years ago. I was very green at the time. So it kind of has that ebullient, effervescent, everything is about liberty, you know. And it's now I'm kind of the old jaded libertarian who's like, whatever, these gosh darn kids, get off my lawn. I mean, that's kind of how I look at the new, that's how I look at the libertarian brutalism, because I think that the libertarian brutalism, I'm kind of less brutal than that and more brutal at the same time. Like I don't see the point of going around on face beef. I'm not even on face beef. I don't see the point of going around and like yelling at people who aren't my kind of libertarian. But I don't know, man. Beyond that, it's like if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. So I'll just keep that to myself. And yeah, I'm not the kind of guy who goes around making people's life uncomfortable. I don't see the point of that. I don't see the grace in that. But if I really want to make someone's life uncomfortable, I will make it exceedingly uncomfortable. It's a really rare occasion. It's not like every day I try to irk somebody so I can turn over my rat badge or something. It's more like I save it for when I really need it. And anybody who has ever had the wrath of it, you know, the 8 or 9 people in the past 10, 15 years that have had it from me, they would consider me one of the most brutal people they've ever met without me laying a hand on them. But I save it for people who truly deserve it and cease to fail to heed warnings. So anyway, enough about me. Let's go back to, yeah, Richard Mayberry, thin libertarianism plus, which is basically the non-aggression principle, plus do not accept aggression, plus keep your word. That's the extent of my agendas.
Being opposed to aggression, I don't think is going to make you a thick libertarian. I think that's what a libertarian, a thin libertarian, would be. And like you said, even not keeping your word in many circumstances could be aggression in a sense. But you can also imagine many other things that you think that are right for Michael Dean that you might think would be helpful for everybody, but you're not going to be shoving it off and talking about it to everybody all the time.
No, man. I share it and don't take calls. I put it in one direction, and if people want it, they can have it. If they don't, whatever.
Well, the thick libertarians, even the ones who say, hey, we would never force this on anybody. We wouldn't want the state to do this. We just want to encourage this. They tend to talk about these things all the time, and then they go back from time to time. Like two of the really big names, I think, on the thick libertarian or left libertarians are guys. Have you heard of Gary Chartier?
No.
Or how about Roderick Long?
No.
Well, and I'm not sure, left libertarian maybe, but certainly in the thick variety that believe that these other things are desirable to maintain liberty if we ever get there, are desirable to get there. And like these guys, I mean, if you ask them, they'll say in a minute, I don't want the state to enforce any of this stuff. Come and take your money and that. But I think these things are important and conducive to liberty, and I will advocate them until the cows come home. And then you get Lou Rockwell and the people, you know, at the Mises site are more like, hey, let's not talk about that because it sounds like you're saying that it's libertarianism plus. And we want this to be a big tent and not drive people off. And also, we don't want people to start listening to this other stuff and think that's where we're going. And pretty soon they get diverted off on some, you know, I mean, I could say socialist tangent, but socialism or leftism isn't really inherent in this thick libertarianism, even if most of the people that are into it are more on the left. I mean, I could see people on the right saying you got to have this and this, or I could see, heaven forbid, you know, religious people, you know, who might think libertarianism plus, and then they have their agenda. And yeah, they're just as wrong as the lefties.
It kind of sounds like Republicans to me, or Democrats. Like Republicans,
sure, yes.
To most Republicans, you have to be a Christian, you have to hate all Muslims, and you have to think USA is the greatest nation ever and will be in perpetuity, and it was granted that way by God. And there's no evidence for any of that. Well, I guess for people's faith, there is evidence for that, but I don't believe that government should involve faith. I mean, there was a judge recently in Alabama who said that the First Amendment only applied to Christians, and he was like the head judge in that state. That blew my mind that he said that. It's like, that's the world we're living in? That's pretty scary, man. It just sounds like the libertarian version of that to me. I wonder what anti-wealth libertarians, I wonder what, how much of a cognitive dissonance it is to them to learn that there are a couple, two or three people who each one of those people owns like 1% of the Bitcoin in existence. And they're not governments, and they basically earned it themselves. I actually started working on this project today. I have a new job. It's consulting on this thing called BitShares and BitShares DNS. And the guy who's the CEO of it owns 1% of the Bitcoin in the world. And he basically, what happened was he heard about it really early on. He thought, this is really neat. And he researched it. And he had a pretty fair retirement account from working, you know, for his whole life. And he cashed out all his stock and bought Bitcoin when they were like 10,000 Bitcoin for the price of a pizza.
I thought you were going to say he spent a dime and bought as much Bitcoin.
No, he spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars buying as much Bitcoin as he could. And he also bought... back when mining was a lot more profitable than it was now, when it took a lot less computing power to mine, he took some of his retirement and bought a pallet of computers and set them all up for Bitcoin mining. So yeah, he's like literally, he owns as much as the Winklevoss brothers, the two guys who left Facebook and sued for billions and bought a lot of Bitcoin a lot later. They also, together, the two of them own 1% of the Bitcoin. But, you know, libertarians love Bitcoin. You know, we all think it's magical internet money that's going to, like, dissolve the state without a shot.
I know you talk about it, and you know a lot about Bitcoin, no more than I do. What do you know about, I've been reading some about Dark Wallet. Is that
yeah, Cody, that's Wilson's, Cody thing? Wilson's thing.
What do you know about that?
The printable gun guy, Cody Wilson. He did an Indiegogo campaign and raised $50,000 to make something called Dark Wallet. He's not a programmer, but he had the idea and has a couple programmers working with him. And they worked for months. They came up with they released it alpha on May 1st, not even beta yet. But I haven't tried it. I'm going to wait until it's beta. It's basically a Bitcoin mixing service, so people can't easily see the source of whose Bitcoin is going from which wallet to which wallet. I hope it works. It'd be pretty cool. It's the final step in Bitcoin.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael W. Dean, the sober Hunter S. Thompson of Liberty. And like Hunter S. Thompson, I often travel with an attorney. And tonight I'm traveling with attorney Randy England, former prosecutor from the great state of Missouri. The great state of Missouri. The gentleman from Missouri will speak now. What'd you have to say, gentleman from Missouri, about Cody Wilson?
Well, that's Missouri, as you know.
Okay, thank you. I sit corrected.
And now I'm representing a gonzo journalist. Is that right?
Yes, you are.
I think that we were talking about the dark wallet.
Yeah.
And one thing that I did read about that was that in the article about it, that the fellow that was working on it, you know, said basically it's money laundering software. And I read that and I went, wow, you know, I mean, it's pretty bold.
You went, the cojones on that fella, huh?
Yeah, I really did, because, I mean, money laundering has been you know, a criminal offense in this country for, you know, many, many years.
Unless the government does it.
I mean, a lot of people, if you've ever known anybody that had $10,000, you know, you would know, you might know that if you put $10,000, you know, in the bank, they're going to report you to the government for that.
Heck, if you're flying or pulled over by the police and you have large amounts of cash, not even that much.
Oh, they just take it.
They'll just take it. We're going to talk about that later, but yeah.
Well, you know what's even worse? I knew about this $10,000 rule for a long time, but what really shocked me was when I ran across someone who was charged with money laundering because they had deposited less than $10,000.
Oh yeah, because it looked suspicious. Because it was somebody who, like, they had a deal with their bank had a rule where if you deposited more than $10,000, it wasn't just reporting. It was something about, like, it affected your insurance on your business. So this business was some mom and pop bakery somewhere. They would always deposit, like, you know, $9,990. And that got reported because it looked like they were trying to not get reported, like they were doing something silly. I mean, really, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with the government if it just happens to be the lottery of the government goons that day. And they will take your cash and say it's drug money and then make you prove it's not and spend more than the amount of the cash in attorneys to try to prove it's not.
That's true. That's true. It's shameful.
Like,
it's
not, there was somewhere recently where somebody went into Walmart and went to buy something with $100 bill, and they literally called security and called the police because someone was using $100 bill, and that seemed odd to them. And it's like, using cash only will set off red buzzers, but also, like, using credit only some places will set off buzzers. I mean, there's really no consistency to what will get you in the sights of the government. I mean, being extremely left wing or extremely right wing will get you on a government watch list. Like, storing food and water can get you on a government watch list, even though FEMA, a department of the government, tells you to store food and water. It's just insanity, man.
You know, I mean, I went on a vacation about a month ago, and about three or four times during the vacation, I plunked down $100 bill. I wasn't thinking how much trouble that could cause. I bet if I was young, maybe it would have caused trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
I noticed when I was a kid, I'd get no respect for anything. It seems like society treats kids like dogs. And then, you know, when I got to be middle age, you know, people start calling me sir, and I'm going, what?
I remember the first time I was called Mister. It was when I was like 19 years old, and it was like a 5-year-old kid on the street. Like, I was looking around for something, and he's like, "What's the matter, Mister?" And I was like, "I'm old." The minute he said that. Yeah. So Cody Wilson, give me some more comments on your opinion, counselor, on him calling himself, saying he's making software for money laundering, other than cojones on that fella.
You know, I hate to show any disloyalty to the government or the existing laws, but I cannot stand money laundering laws. I mean, it's terrible. It's none of their business. I mean,
we'll be back with more.
Dean After Dark. Go to MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
They started experimenting.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
To provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Radio mic, check. Yep. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And I was talking with Randy during the break about our funeral plans, and he wants to be buried without a tie, and I want to be cremated and loaded into 30-06 shells and shot out of 15 shells from a 30-06. Is that the song? It's a Tom Waits song. I forget what it's called. But yeah, it'd be like the low-budget version of the Dr. Gonzo canon funeral ashes. So we're talking about thick libertarianism, thin libertarianism. I think somebody should write a book called The Thin Libertarian Diet. I think that would sell really well. So we got a caller here. We got Nathan calling from Texas. What's up, Nathan?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Nathan. Good.
Well, I got to say first, I was really tickled when you said, or when Randy talked about Gary Chartier and Roderick Long, and you said, I don't know who that is, because I know who those guys
cool,
are.
Cool, man. You're cooler than me. I don't know. I really don't have time to keep up on all the libertarian self-appointed experts and libertarian pod beefs and
face beefs. Do you listen to Free Talk Live every day?
Michael, you're keeping up by listening to me and Nathan.
Yeah, there you go. You guys can just condense it down and bring it to me. I listen to Free Talk Live probably 6 hours a week total, probably like, you know, an hour here and there of hour or two here and there of a few different shows. I like them. I like them, but I don't like phone calls that sound horrible. And I don't like that they put insane people on that threaten their lives that they should have never let on after like the first time they called. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to start out by answering one of Randy's questions that he asked, or maybe it was your question, I'm not sure. You asked if there was a conservative or kind of a right version of left libertarianism, and I would say yes, that would probably be something
no,
like
No, that's Randy. Not what I – no, I asked if there was both thin and thick of both left libertarianism and anarcho-capitalism, and I think we agreed that yes, probably. But I'm right. Not sure.
I didn't agree. I think there's only one thin.
Ah, okay. And oh, there's only that. One yeah. thin.
And if you're not thin, you're thick.
There's only one thin, and it's Lou Rockwell. Well, would you say I'm a thick libertarian, Randy, for having the really important things are the non-aggression principle plus keep your word and don't be an ass.
You're not thick.
Okay.
Although the thing about being an ass, I think the brutalists would insist that you can be one if you want.
Yeah, I really do believe you can be one if you want, but I think it's not very becoming. And like I said, I'm not an ass on a day-to-day basis. I save it up for people that really deserve it, and then I don't do it in public. The world never hears about it, and the people do not come back. So I'm not trying to make myself sound scary. I'm just basically saying, like, I don't live a life of constantly irritating people. If I get really angry, you'll know it, and no one else will know it. And I'm not saying like I'll corner you and aggress on you. I'm just saying like that's kind of my motif. But also, my thin libertarianism plus is basically just non-aggression principle plus keep your word. And I guess the don't be an ass is if you want to hang out with me, and if someone doesn't want to, that doesn't matter. They don't need to.
Yeah, I was about to say, it sounds like you guys are really narrowing in on the strategic thickness, which is the idea of what will be necessary to maintain or keep a free society stable.
I'm really not, because I maintain that keep your word is an extrapolation of the non-aggression principle. I really think it is.
Now, Nathan, okay, what the thing you're saying about what's necessary, I have my own views on what may be necessary, but I'm not omnipotent or omniscient. And so I kind of keep my mouth shut about it.
Well, I was going to say, I like the way he starts the essay out because he talks about something called entailment, which is, you know, basically what can you logically derive from the NAP. And the example he gives is, well, consider, genital mutilation in Africa. This is not a state practice. This is a cultural practice, but it's still, it's still hurting people. So
are you talking about Johnson or who?
Yeah, and the Johnson article.
To be clear, the NAP, if people listening don't know, that stands for the non-aggression principle. It's also called the zero aggression principle.
Right, and he starts out by asking, well, you know, we could imagine applying it logically or fully to certain situations where it's not the state. Like, you know, it's private people, you know, killing and raping and so on.
Of course you have to apply the non-aggression principle to private people. It's ridiculous to think you only have to apply it to the state.
And
because,
so he asked,
because you're being the state when two or more are aggressing, you're being the state, basically.
Right. And so he asked the question, well, can we go beyond that? And are there things that we should be committed to, not just because they logically are entailed by the NAP? And that's these four things he's talking about.
I guess I feel like all of this talk, and we'll talk about it for as long as you want, but I kind of feel like a lot of these discussions basically come down to the libertarian equivalent of Christian scholars trying to decide after long mediation and meditation and mastication how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And that's supposedly a real thing that people did back in the ages. And I didn't become a libertarian to spend every waking hour discussing the like possible minutiae of libertarianism. I became a libertarian to be a libertarian and live a freer life. And aside from the time that I'm on the radio here, like I spend, other than the time I spend like calling radio stations and stuff, which there's nothing libertarian about it. It's basically like trying to get into a government controlled system, FCC licensed system. And it's really difficult because I'm having to say, hey, how would you like to have this anarcho-capitalist libertarian show on between Glenn Beck and the other guy, Rush?
Is that how you pitch it?
No, but that's basically what it comes down to if they go ahead and listen to it. And, you know, most of them are not interested, and a few very brave people are. But, you know, most of what I do, I mean, like, I'm working on a new software project today called BitShares, and it's the guy who runs it is an ANCAP, and it's got a lot of libertarian principles in it, but I'm not thinking about who's the better libertarian when I'm doing it. I'm thinking like, how can this software project like take what started with Bitcoin and take it even further and do a better job with it? That's my main goal, you know?
No, and that's great. I mean, I think that's part of the spirit of this whole thick libertarianism thing, is that, you know, it's not just let's talk about the NAP all day. There's all these kinds of ancillary things that we can do, like Bitcoin and so on, that help undermine the state power.
Yeah, I guess all the discussions of the types of libertarianism remind me of two things. One is that essay that we read on the Freedom Fiends weekend show a while back called I Hate Your Politics No Matter What They Are. And it went through conservatives, libertarians, liberals and libertarians. And the libertarian, one of the things it said about libertarians was libertarians blog with a frequency that makes one wonder if they're employed somewhere and if they have loved ones who miss them. And I thought that was hilarious, man, because it's like literally, you know, if I go look at Facebook, like there's a Freedom Fiends fan page that some fans run. If I go look on there and then click on some other links and look at some other things by other people or look at Twitter, it's like there is just a mass of people who sit around all day long and debate each other. And a lot of what they're debating is being more libertarian than thou, like basically saying, well, I'm a true libertarian and he's not. And that reminds me of another thing. Reminds me a lot of the punk rock scene back in the 80s, like in DC. Like all of it was about like this extreme punk rock integrity, to where like, you know, you couldn't get paid more than $100 for a gig. And if you did, you were a sellout. And even if you were starving and like, you know, you couldn't go to a doctor when you were sick and you were doing it full time, you were still expected to like live like a pauper. And, you know, you couldn't play, you know, there'd be five bands on each show. And like, if you played a show where there was some band that you couldn't understand any of their lyrics, but later people read their record when it came out, read the lyric sheet and found out they said something that sounded kind of racist or kind of sexist, like, oh, you played with that band once, we don't like you anymore. It was so You know, there was a joke about it that Henry Rollins said was like, you know, you see all this graffiti that says anarchy rules, which is what leftist anarchists wrote back then on walls, who most of them are voting for Obama now. But, you know, he made a joke about it that there are anarchy rules. He's like, there's anarchy rules. I've never seen them written down, but apparently I've been accused of breaking all of them.
Sounds like an atmosphere of constant one-upmanship.
It really does, man. And that's kind of what the libertarian face beefs remind me of. And I'm not a participant in it. I mean, I will occasionally call someone out. Like recently I called out Stefan Molyneux for belittling someone for sending him a dollar. And I said that I'd be happy if someone sent me a dollar. The really funny thing was, an hour later, someone I've never heard of sent me a dollar on PayPal. And and after the PayPal, it was 67 cents that I got from it. And I thought that was pretty cool. And it's like, it's worth my time to click to transfer that to my bank account. I'm like, cool, man. Thanks. And I wrote the guy back.
I totally agree.
Yeah, but I will not. I still think Stefan Molyneux's solid as heck, and you know I will still send people to his videos if they're asking me what's libertarianism. I think he's a better introduction than I am because I'm kind of like jaded about it, and not fluffy and not like he is. You know, not all sparkly and ebullient. And you know, I mean, he would have to step on a baby before I'd stop sending people to his videos, probably.
Yeah, you like to go straight to the heroin vending machines.
Yeah, right? Man, heroin and vending machines, which, you know, I think he would agree there's no reason that should be illegal, heroin and vending machines, but it's not what he leads with.
It was actually sold over the counter, wasn't it? Just to take that a little yes, further.
But Michael, you usually quote that as saying that you hope that there will be heroin in vending machines, not that it shouldn't be criminal. Which is it?
I'd be fine with it. I think there'd be a lot less crime in the world if that happened. I really do.
It makes me think of Walter Block. You're familiar with his defending the undefendable?
Yeah, that's a very thin libertarian.
Oh, Nathan, I know you've read it.
What's he defending?
Well, he goes through all sorts of different things, like, for, you know, blackmail, why that shouldn't be a crime. And he points out that a blackmailer, you could argue that a blackmailer does you a favor. He said a gossip who knows some bad news about you just tells everybody, and then it's out there, whereas the blackmailer calls you up and gives you a chance to keep it from going out. So the blackmailer is doing a positive service. But, and he does that with a lot of different things, like a drug dealer and this and that. But he gets to different things that 99% of people might consider a vice of some kind.
He basically picks the most despised scumbag people and defends them.
And instead of saying it shouldn't be criminal, he's almost calling them heroes. Now, I think it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. You know, he's not really saying that these despicable people are really great. The point is it should be legal.
Who wrote it?
Walter Block.
I like Walter Block's writing. We're gonna go to the break. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Good evening. And it is a good evening here in Wyoming, in the windowless bunker with the windows open. And during the break, I was talking with Randy and our caller, Nathan, about, well, who said this and that and this and that? And Randy thought that I was that I had heard of all these people and I was making it up and trying to be a contrarian punk by saying, I don't know who that is to all these people. But honestly, I don't know who a lot of these people are. And I do get a kick out of saying, I don't know who that is, because it's kind of like hero bashing or something. But I really don't know who most of these people are. And these two guys were talking so eloquently about all these people. I didn't know. I know who Walter Block is. I know who Stefan Molyneux is. I don't like a lot of what Stefan Molyneux has been doing lately, but I will say, you know, he was a big part of my path to liberty. And I think now what he's doing is complaining in a mean way at people who send him money. He's basically complaining that the free market is not responding enough to his free market podcasts about the free market. And I think it's really, he's acting like a rock star. And I think in the long run, it's going to make him less popular and get less money. But he's solid. He's very, very solid on teaching about the state. And, you know, I know who Walter Block is. I know who Lou Rockwell is. I don't know who these other people are. And you guys know them so well. I feel like you should be, trading cards, bubblegum cards about these people or something. Yeah. Or having, well, like, nice. Do you have posters?
Like they had that deck of, sorry.
Yeah, like the deck of enemy combatants in wars.
I don't know. It was the deck of Iraqi officials after the Iraqi war.
Well, that goes back to other wars, too. They had that in Vietnam, and they had that in World War II also.
And, Michael, you said earlier, always keep your word. And I'm not sure if I said this on the air on the break, but it doesn't matter. But I mentioned that Stefan Molyneux had written a book that was, I think he called it, a rational proof of ethics, kind of an atheist point of view for building a system of ethics, why there was right and wrong or something. I only read a little bit of it, so don't want to get it wrong. But then it was a bit later that I think I said that Walter Block, didn't I say Walter Block, Nathan?
Yeah.
I said I think Walter Block then turned right around and wrote an article saying, sorry, you're just not making it for me, and I don't believe
these guys.
David was a believer either. Well, anyway,
this reminds me of like an East-West rap battle. Like you do a hit song on me, I'll do a beef song on you,
Michael. You know what's coming here, because Nathan corrected me and said that wasn't Walter Block, that was David Gordon, and I checked in. Of course, Nathan is correct. It was David Gordon that wrote the critique of that book, and my point, Michael, is that how come you let him come on the air and contradict me?
Yeah, that breaks fiend rule, doesn't it? Fiend rule number one. Yeah, no, it's that's number two. One is don't cuss on the air. Number two is almost as bad as cussing, is correctly contradicting one of the hosts. But let's throw it to Nathan. What you got, Nathan? Contradict us more.
Well, you guys, like I was saying, you're kind of narrowing in on the strategic applications of thick libertarianism. And I think that's great, because the whole stability thing, I think that's the strongest, thick libertarian argument. But I wanted to throw one of the smaller ones, because he's got four main pillars of thickness here, I guess, for the diet book. The first one is called application thickness. And I just thought of
who is this? Whose list is this?
This is Charles Johnson, the guy who wrote this essay. I thought of this first point that he made in the essay today, because on Free Talk Live, someone was, it wasn't a person calling in. They were reading an article, and someone said something like, these free keeners appear to not believe in the democratic process by which laws are passed.
Yeah. I read that article. It was in the New York Times, and really funny is reading the comments on it, and it's like, nine-tenths of them are defending the state, and about one-tenth of them are saying, never heard of these people, but I'm starting to hate the government so much, I think I'm going to move to New Hampshire. So I think that as a hit piece, it is going to be a big publicity drive to get people to New Hampshire. But go on.
So the reason that made me think of this is because it's one of the types of application thickness, which is how do you actually apply the NAP in real life? In other words, are there conceptual blinders that can prevent you from actually recognizing that the NAP applies to something? In this case, it's democratic governments, because after all, didn't we all consent to it? Didn't we consent to being taxed and so on? Because there are some people who, like, if you try to explain the whole tax is theft thing to them, they'll just, like, they won't even understand what you mean. It'll be like explaining double plus ungood, Big Brother is, double super bad or whatever it was in 1984.
We're going to go to the break, and we're going to come back after we go to the market and sell some nifty things. When we come back with more Thick, the Thin Libertarian Diet on Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And so I'll read a little bit about Richard Mayberry while the cuss dump builds. Here we go. He has written several entry-level books on United States economics, law, and history from a libertarian perspective. He's written many of these things in an epistolary form, usually as an uncle writing to his nephew answering questions. I like that. Yeah, one of his pen names is Uncle Eric. Mayberry was a high school economics teacher. After failing to find a book which would give him a clear explanation on his view of economics, he wrote one himself. You know, that's kind of how I make all the art I make. Like, the music I make because it doesn't exist and I want to hear it. Same thing with the radio I make. Same thing with the books I write. And we're going to go back to the phones, actually the Skypes, and the good mic that we recommend. Although I do think Nathan needs to get a pop filter. Do you have a little windscreen on that thing, Nathan?
I actually decided not to get that because I was a little cheap.
I think you need to get that. They're like six for $10. I think you need to get one. Or if not, stretch some pantyhose over it. It'll get rid of your when you say P's, B's, D's, and T's. But moving on, this is a teaching hospital. But okay, go on with your libertarian rock star trading card.
So I just wanted to quickly get in and ask what you guys thought of the application thickness. You know, because a lot of people, they look at taxation, but they can't actually see that it's aggression. Some kind of like conceptual blinders prevent them from making the leap from taxation to theft. And that's one of the libertarian criticisms.
The thick, thin, 4 points of misery kind of thing sounds really complicated to me. I reduce it to two things. When I talk to somebody who's a statist and try to convince them to not be one, there's two tacks I take. And one is the moral stance. And a lot of people can't get that. They really can't see that it's immoral, you know, for there to be a war on drugs, for instance, because they don't take drugs and they think drug users are bad people. So then I go on the tactical. I can only approach anything on either the moral or the tactical. And the tactical is, yeah, but you're a gun owner. You know, I'll say to them, you're a gun owner and you should know that the war on drugs drives the war on guns. And I'll show them examples of that. And then if they don't get it, I kill them. No, I'm kidding. If they don't get it, you know, if they're still curious, I'll keep talking. But if they're aggressive and they're defending the state like they're defending their mother, I walk away. That's my simple path.
Yeah, I think that's definitely in accordance with this point, this first point of the thick libertarian, because you're trying to loosen their conceptual blinders and say, well, you know, it's kind of like guns and weed, and you know, there's this link here. If you could see that, then maybe you could draw the line from taxation to theft. If you go not directly, but maybe through something else. You know, see what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but when Johnson, you know, talks about taxation, he's talking about how non-libertarians view taxation and they can't see it as coercive. I think Johnson is saying that we need to be feminist because unless we are against sexism, let's say, we can't possibly understand violence against women and end it. And you've got to end it if you're going to bring in the non-aggression principle. So that sexism actually hinders the application of the non-aggression principle. And I think that's their point in that. And I mean, I understand what they're saying. I mean, I think the non-aggression principle by itself forbids violence against women. And so I don't know why I need some social philosophy to go with it.
There's also a lot of things that people consider sexism that I wouldn't consider aggression. I mean, pornography.
Right.
I don't see anything wrong with pornography of consenting adults being consumed by adults. And there are people, I mean, there are people who take, you know, there are feminists who believe there's different levels of people that fall under that banner and all different types. And, you know, there are sex positive feminists who are sex industry workers, strippers or prostitutes. And there are feminists who say that all pornography encourages violence against women and should be completely banned. And then there are like extremists who take it to the point of saying that all heterosexual sex between a man and a woman is rape, is a man raping a woman. This is actually a thing. You can look this
up. I've heard of that. It is a thing,
and it's just, it's mind-blowing. I can't wrap my head around it.
I can't wrap my head around how the species would survive if that's your attitude. But
I think it comes from the fact that the people that propose these things say that we're into a new age now where you don't need a man to have a child.
Oh, okay. So the men are just going to be kept for breeding stock in cages and will be milked to impregnate women artificially. You could laugh,
but I think that's it.
If that's the plan. If that's the plan, it's going to involve aggression to get me into the cage.
I think that was a Star Trek episode that had that as the plot.
And they would probably kill me because I had a vasectomy about 15 years ago. I wouldn't be of much use. So
you would be of no use at all, would you?
Oh, I'd be good for lifting heavy things, and they could, you know, humiliate me and get off on it. That's not my idea of any kind of paradise, and I don't see why it would be any man or woman's idea of a paradise. I don't know, man. I really don't care what sort of twisted delusions my neighbor has in his heart of hearts if he doesn't want to throw me in a cage. And if he doesn't want to aggress on other people, like, I guess you'd have to say I'm a thin libertarian. And this is because, and this is a very controversial thing to a lot of people, but I really don't care if someone's a racist, if they don't aggress on people of color or of any people, you know, if they just sit around thinking bad thoughts and mumbling them on their porch, I don't think that aggresses on anybody. I think they're stupid. I think they can't like pass a level of getting over stupidity that's about as high as the curb on the side of the road, maybe even like the paint stripe on the bottom of the curb. But I don't think they're aggressing on anybody. And I think that somebody who thinks dumb, sexist thoughts about women but doesn't act on them and hurt people, I don't think that guy is aggressing on anyone.
But you probably care enough to avoid them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
you
yeah,
do
yeah.
care.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course I do. But I don't think that building a libertarian paradise society necessitates me wanting to hang out with every person in the world. I don't like hanging out with about 90% of the people I meet. You know, I'm a curmudgeon. You know, and here's the thing. What would thick libertarians think of a curmudgeon who doesn't want to deal with most people and thinks they're stupid? Because there's kind of a leftist attitude of like, it is your duty to not only be forced by the state to treat all people equally, but also to invite them into your life. You know, like things like you have to let all people join your club if it's for a select group of people. And you have to, you know, I mean, literally, like there are liberal agendas to like move all races of people into all neighborhoods of America. You know, like,
yeah, like forced busing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a thing. It's like, you know, there's too many white people in this neighborhood. We have to move in people of color. And that is for busing had so many problems, man. I was a kid when that was happening, and it didn't help the busee or the busser or the bust.
Well, I guess the left libertarian analysis would be something like, I guess if you can sort of like say, well, let's take the sexism. You can think that you can have your own private thoughts that, you know, women are less valuable than men or whatever. And it doesn't directly hurt anyone. But the people who do want to hurt women will be able to get away with it more easily if everyone just kind of, you know, looks the other way and, you know, think, well, you know, women, you know, she cheated on him. So she deserves to have that honor killing done or whatever. And You know, it's a...
I think the solution is every father should teach his daughter to shoot a gun from a young age. And when she turns age of majority, I don't even want to say 18, just old enough to be responsible with a gun, I think he should buy her a gun and have her carry it in her purse and encourage her to. Well, I think that would solve 98% of the violence against women.
I think we've discovered your brand of thick libertarianism. It involves guns and weed and keeping your word.
I don't take weed, though. I didn't even like weed when I took drugs. I think it makes people really stupid. I never liked it. The only time I ever – I used it like two phases in my life. One was when I first started taking drugs, and it was the only drug I could get. And then once I discovered alcohol and heroin and that those were really my drugs of choice, there could be people smoking joints around me, and I'd be like, ugh, open a window. That stuff's horrible. And then if I were kicking heroin, I'd smoke pot because it would take the edge off of the pain. But I never really liked it. I'm in favor of it being legal and available in vending machines, and I think it should be. I really think it should be way more than heroin because I think heroin should be in vending machines too. But I think weed should because I really do believe it has a lot of medical uses without a lot of side effects. But I think it should be freely available for recreational use everywhere in the world all the time. I think it would, I think if it was, okay, like, I think the market would take care of a lot of violence too, because I think a lot of violence comes out of people from drinking. I mean, I think the violent impulse is in them, but I think when they drink, it tends to come out a lot more. I've been around drinking people, I've been a drinking people, and I've been around pot people, and I've
smoked pot. They're way more, violent.
And I think that a lot of people, I think they probably enjoy pot more than alcohol. A lot of people seem to. And I think if it were freely available, there'd be a lot less alcohol consumed and a lot less alcohol-related violence.
Well, even here, you could say that it's the influence of the state because the drug war caused more higher proof and more intense versions of alcohol to be sold than otherwise would be.
Oh, and the same thing with heroin and coke and speed. I mean, when I was young, like, heroin wasn't available anywhere. I mean, that was like something that, you know, people did in Harlem. You know, it was like an inner city ghetto thing. And now, pretty much, from what I hear, like, pretty much any, you know, city over 50,000 people in America, you can buy heroin. And it's a lot stronger than it used to be. And that's because there's a market for it because it's illegal.
I think Stefan Molyneux said in one of his videos, pretty much all the drugs that are legal or illegal that people use today are either to really amp their motivation up or just to kind of feel good or else take the edge off of pain. Do you agree with that?
Well, that kind of throws out psychedelics from the equation. I mean, I kind of always looked at it as like, you know, stimulants turn up the volume, opiates and alcohol turn down the volume, although with some people, alcohol turns up the volume. And psychedelics were for changing the channel. And I don't know. I think that people still do a lot of MDMA as party drug, but I don't know if that's necessarily for the psychedelic effect, but more for the dance all night effect. I don't know.
Say, Michael,
I've never done it.
Let me ask you something, Michael. I, you know, as far as why people take the drugs and that, I've had a lot of clients, and I've had a lot of methamphetamine addict clients, and I just ask, you know, why'd you take it? And they said, I didn't take it to get high. I take it to feel normal.
Well, that's once you're addicted. But the first time I tried opiates was when I was in the hospital. And I was like, this is what I wanted to feel like my whole life. I was like chemically predestined, I think.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends After Dark, and we are discussing The Thin Libertarian Diet, the new book I'm writing. It's The Thin Libertarian Diet by Michael W. Dean. The subtitle is How to Lose 50 Pounds of Ugly Statism in One Sitting. And we have two people here discussing it. We're going to wrap this up in some redemption in the third act. So, Nathan and Randy, go.
Well, I just glanced over at Lou's article, and I think this criticism he's saying of thick libertarianism, there might be something to it. He's basically saying that the classical liberals turned into liberals because they kept saying, well, you know, free markets and, you know, Adam Smith and all that, that's all good, but, you know, we need to have positive rights. We need to go beyond just, you know, the basics. And I think there is that danger anytime you're saying that, you know, we need to expand beyond this just one principle.
So that's I think that's the best definition I've heard all night, is that it's an attempt at libertarianism with positive rights. And for those who don't know, negative rights are good. Positive rights are bad. Negative rights are you have the right not to be killed. You have the right not to be infringed on. You have the right not to be kept from having property. Positive rights are you have the right to a free education, you have the right to free healthcare, that kind of thing.
I think Lou Rockwell, I agree with Nathan that he fears that the thick libertarians will place their social issues ahead of the non-aggression principle and kind of divert the movement. I think there's another concern in there. I'm not sure if he said it explicitly, but the idea that these issues can turn off, you know, potential converts to libertarianism, so that if you're kind of on the right conservative side, these left-wing
calling the non-left libertarianism, the kind that we are, the anarcho-capitalism, I don't like calling that the right-wing libertarian. I like calling it right as in correct. But
no, I mean, I was talking about people that are not libertarian yet, but if you're kind of on the right, and these left libertarians are talking all the time, you're going to think.
I'm correcting you on saying that we're on the right. We're not on the right.
Absolutely not.
The interesting thing about that is that for the longest time, people coming in, maybe even in the current present, is that people coming into libertarianism are coming from the right, the Ron Pauls, the Barry Goldwaters, you know, all those kinds of folks. In some ways, one of the good things I see about this thick libertarian idea is that it's trying to kind of equalize that and say, well, you know, if you're concerned about the church and God and family, you can have that. But, you know, you can also be concerned about racism and sexism and, you know, having hippies in your flat.
You know, so you don't think we have to worry about the conservatives coming in?
You know, there's a rumor that I've heard about Lou Rockwell. I don't know if it's true. I've seen it said somewhere and I can't find confirmation of it. But allegedly many years ago, he said that jazz music and modern architecture were decadent and you could not like them and be a true libertarian. You think he said that?
I think, didn't you talk about the Bauhaus architecture and all that?
Yeah, well, that was interesting because we talked about that rumor and then got into Bauhaus architecture and then got into brutalist architecture about 2 years ago. So I was kind of, I thought it was interesting to see Jeffrey Tucker use the word brutalist for this type of snotty libertarian he didn't like. You know, it sounds to me like there are now three delineations of libertarians. There's left, right, or left, non-left. There's thin, thick. There's brutalist, non-brutalist. What about like cool and hip, but or not cool? Like, I think that someone that doesn't like jazz music is not cool. And I think I'm cool. I think I think that should be the new delineation of like cool libertarians and non-cool libertarians, unhip libertarians, square libertarians. But no, Lou Rockwell's really solid on a lot of things. I'm just jiving him. I'm just jive catting him, man.
I think the point is that there's millions of us out here, billions of us, and we all have different points of view, and we can't make any one of these things the thing.
I like this quote here from Rothbard. He says that liberty is the highest political end, but not necessarily the highest end on everyone's personal value scale.
Yeah. I guess what I'd say is if someone doesn't love coercion and doesn't love the state, I like them better than people that do, no matter what warts and pickles they have about them, and no matter how ruffled their fur is and how in need of a haircut and a shower they are. And even if they don't like jazz and cool modern architecture.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.